Yo, 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 this is C-God. Welcome to Hot Streak, the number one sports show on Hits 101 Radio. I'm not alone in the studio today. I got a homie Safe in here.
What up?
What's good? How you doing?
Chilling.
Good. So, first and foremost, we're going to get to some NBA news. Because you already know the NBA offseason is more exciting than the NBA postseason. So
that's just facts right there.
So today, as of today, Swaggy P, Nick Young, formerly Los Angeles Lakers guard, is now a Golden State Warrior. He just signed a one-year deal, $5 million and some change, to go ring chase.
Straight up.
What was your first reaction about that, Safe?
So I saw the deal, and you know, it's something I expected because he had some interest from the Warriors, and if you can go play for the Warriors, why not, right? But to me, he sold out a little because he only got $5 million in 1 year. If I was going to sign a one-year contract with the Warriors, I would have at least gotten like 10. Can't even buy a house out there, you know, with $5 million in San Francisco. So I don't know. I don't think it was a financial decision. Like you said, I think he's going ring chasing. I think he's just trying to get that ring at whatever cost. And, you know, he's trying to get on that super team.
Pretty much. He's going to ride some coattails. That catch and shoot game is going to be tremendous, man. I seen what was it? The top four. They have like the top four catch and shoot players in the league.
Steph
Curry's number one. First. Nick Young was number two, and then I think all three of them were in the top 10. It was KD. I think he came in fourth? At like number four.
And
something.
Then Klay Thompson was ninth.
Yeah, so that is just deadly from. From three-point land, like, we already knew the Warriors are just a different team when it comes to shooting threes.
Yeah.
But now they got another stretch player, another guy who can create space on the floor, create his own shot.
He's trash at defense, but, you know, they don't really need him for that.
I was just going to say, last year on the Lakers, I think it was the best year he played defense.
Yeah.
And I mean...
That's not saying much, though.
Yeah, they won 20 games. So, obviously, defense isn't his strongest suit. But, I mean, he's going to run with the second team. I think they basically just plugged him in for Ian Clark's position.
Oh yeah,
Ian Clark's not on the Warriors anymore, so
it's gonna be awkward though. We saw his tweet about those 2016 Warrior fans don't know what they're talking about. He's gonna have to deal with that. You know, it's not gonna be cool, but I think they'll welcome him just because of the shooting, just like every other team.
Yeah. Miami also had. Some free agency news. Deion Waiters was re-signed. They actually kept him. They paid quite a bit of money for him. I think he's the second highest paid on the team now, behind Hassan Whiteside.
He carried him last season, man. He took a lot of shots, but
he did. He definitely. I mean, the game against the Warriors, he shot a buzzer beater on him.
Yeah.
So
Kevin Durant said, if anyone's gonna do it, it was Deion Waiters.
So, honestly, I think that was the only move that Miami could have made, because Gordon Hayward was never looking at Miami as a potential contender in the East.
Yeah.
Let alone, I mean, they would have been able to pay him a lot of money, but he wasn't going to win games. And I think Gordon Hayward
not
was
what
more,
they needed, really.
Yeah. I think he was definitely inclined to go. Obviously, I mean, he signed to the Celtics with his old college coach.
And, oh, Brad Stevens.
Yeah, he signed with Brad Stevens, and they have like a chance to potentially beat the Cavs, and represent the Eastern Conference in the finals. But at the same time, no one is beating Golden State.
Yeah, no one's beating the Warriors. None of these guys are. No move you're gonna make right now, unless you know LeBron and Paul George go to the Lakers right now. No one's beating the Warriors. Not this season.
Not this season. Not 2017-2018.
How much did Deion Waiters get paid?
Deion Waiters got
what
paid.
What was his deal?
Deion Waiters contract. I think
it's
he
too
got
new.
Yeah, I don't think the numbers are out.
He probably got too much. But
yeah,
I mean,
they definitely had to overpay for him, because he's a good player, he's a decent pro, but he hasn't been very consistent in his career.
Yeah, I like his mentality, though.
Yeah, he's definitely
got that Mamba mentality. Even though he doesn't have the Mamba skill, he definitely he had that quote. He was like, I'd rather go 0 for 30 than 0 for 10 because at least I had the confidence to take 30 shots.
That's not that comforting. That's ridiculous. Yeah, his deal is a 4-year deal, $52 million.
That's not bad.
Yeah, it's not
worse.
Yeah, they could have paid a lot more for him, honestly. Yeah. They could have just thrown money at him. But he stays for a decent price and 4 years. I mean, 2 years into it, if he's not playing up to par, you could always just trade him.
Yep.
Because that's an asset that you could get rid of for, I mean, draft picks, another player, basically whatever you want. And there's the Heat, Miami's still looking to sign Tim Hardaway Jr., another potential scoring option at the two guard for them. He's already been on the Heat.
Did he play on the Heat?
Yeah, I think he was drafted by the Heat. I mean, his dad played for the Heat. No, he was actually drafted by the Knicks.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. The Lakers have also the Lakers have also been on the radar to sign Hardaway and Rondo, surprisingly.
Yeah, Rondo's weird, man. I still have bad blood from 2010 when he was playing really good defense on us, you know, in the championship. But
see, at the same time, I could look at that and flip it and say, wow, he could be a potential mentor for the younger guards on the Lakers, since, I mean, they're all young guards. There's no veteran in that locker room, per se. Except for Luol Deng, but...
Plus, he's great on defense, and the Lakers haven't really figured out what defense is yet.
And definitely not.
Rondo could help with that, as long as he just, you know, takes a veteran role and doesn't try to be such a...
Doesn't try to make it his team, because it's definitely not his team if he goes to LA.
You could tell the team chemistry on the Heat when he played this season. You know, they had those problems for calling out teammates in the media, you know, just being outlandish.
On the Bulls, right?
Yeah, when they played with D-Wade and Jimmy Butler last season.
Yeah. The Bulls, probably in full rebuild mode.
Oh, God, the Bulls. The Bulls are lost, man. You know, there's a quote. It's, you can take a horse to water, but you can't make him drink it.
That's the Bulls summed up in this summer's free agency.
They gave away a top 20 player to rebuild. Come on, bro. Get him some pieces. Get him someone to play with. You got him Dwayne Wade, who's like 50 years old, and you got him Rajon Rondo, and he still went to the second round of the playoffs, almost beat the
Celtics.
Until Rondo got hurt and couldn't play defense that they badly needed. And what'd they do? They traded him away, their best player. To me, the Bulls are just in lost mode.
Yeah, there's been more trades this offseason than there has been just regular free agency signings. Because I think the free agent class this year was not as deep.
Definitely.
There wasn't as much talent. I mean, Gordon Hayward. And who else was a free agent? Just Gordon Hayward was basically like...
Yeah, when you got a white guy being the top free agent in the league, you know something's wrong. No, but Gordon Hayward's a beast. I just think he's... He'll do well under Brad Stevens, but he was underappreciated in Utah.
And then the Celtics still trying to make some moves. They're trying to potentially get, I just heard a rumor. They're trying to potentially get Marc Gasol.
Oh, that'd be solid.
Marc Gasol, because they have Jay Crowder. They have a lot of wing players, and they have a lot of versatility right now on the roster. I always forget that they got Tatum.
Jason Tatum. He is a beast.
So Jason Tatum right now is killing it in the summer league. And
are we about to talk about summer league right now?
We could bring in some summer league.
Because I just saw Jason Tatum, his first two games in summer league. The first game, he made a shot over Markelle Fultz, a game-winning shot.
Yep.
Clean. Good, solid start.
He had a nice drive, driving bang out on the rim right there.
Yeah, he's crazy. And then I mean, it's only summer league, so it's not the NBA season yet, but this last game today, Wednesday, July 5th, was he had this sweet putback dunk that just really says a lot about him, because, you know, he's a hustler and he's a beast. Like, he just has so much floor presence. He knows what he's doing. He's kind of like you would think he was some seasoned player, not just some rookie. It's pretty solid.
Yeah, he looks like a leader out there.
Yeah.
I actually saw this quote. He said that Kobe was his favorite player until he got drafted to the Celtics.
No way.
So now it's kind of like enemy number one, Jason Tatum. Because I got to be a little bit biased being a Laker fan. I got to be a little bit biased when it comes to those leprechauns.
So those racist leprechauns always shouting.
Yeah, so, I mean, like I was saying, they have a lot of... They have Jay Crowder. They have Bradley Beal. And they have...
Bradley Beal?
Or not Bradley Beal. Avery Bradley.
Avery Bradley. Oh, he's a beast. He got snubbed, man.
He did get snubbed.
He got snubbed for that all-defensive team.
Apparently they're on the block. They're on the trading block. So Marc Gasol coming to the Celtics with Al Horford at the four, Tatum playing two, and Gordon Hayward playing three, and Isaiah Thomas.
See, with Avery Bradley leaving, though, like Isaiah Thomas can't play defense.
Yeah, you lose so much defense. So at the
he's like 5'5". He's a leprechaun. You know what I mean?
In my opinion, I think Isaiah Thomas is the most expendable player on that team.
Yeah, honestly. I mean, they won games without him in the playoffs. I'm not saying get rid of him.
But I'm saying he's not the face of your franchise.
Yeah,
yeah, he's not the face of your franchise.
Definitely.
Just because like you can't give him... You can't put the whole team on his back because he can't drive to the lane against the top flight teams in the Eastern Conference. Like LeBron put him down. The Cavs put them down.
Not to mention he's such a liability that like whatever points he's scoring, you know the other team is just fighting right back. That's why he always has such close games.
Yeah.
They always gotta sub him out and just have someone who can play defense after a while because man, he is just. What do you expect him to do, anyways? You know, he's like five inches tall. So he's not gonna be a beast guard against any of these guards.
I mean, the fact that he's just in the NBA is already an accomplishment enough. Because I mean, dude can ball, but he's just undersized, incredibly undersized.
Very talented, just not naturally gifted. You know,
more in the summer league. We got Markelle Fultz. Showing what he's got. His first game they played against the Celtics. His first game he didn't have a great shooting night, but you saw the little hesitation jump shot, and that was just a little glimpse of what you could see more to come. Because I mean, obviously he's the first overall draft pick. He has a lot of pressure, and apparently there's a rivalry stewing between the Ball family and the 76ers.
Oh God.
It's not even the Lakers in the 76ers. It's just the Ball family.
It's just the Ball family.
LaVar Ball, being the great dad that he is, supporting his kids to the fullest. And there's a lot of salty 76ers.
I really think Joel Embiid is just like insecure about his team right now. Or just like, I don't know what it is, but...
I don't know. He's good. But he hasn't even played 50 games in the NBA.
Yeah, and so I heard LeVar, he called him out on it. He was like, those guys are good, but they can't stay healthy when Ben Simmons tweeted for Joel Embiid to dunk on Lonzo when the draft when he got drafted by the Lakers.
Yeah, like, they're good, and I like the Twitter beef and the, you know, I think it adds another dimension to the game, especially, like, the modern game, but you guys need to stay on the court. Like, Ben Simmons hasn't even played yet.
Yeah,
like,
and what Joel Embiid say? Can we cuss on here? Okay, so Joel Embiid said, "Fuck LaVar Ball" on Instagram Live, not really caring about who saw it or what happened. But to me, it kind of does push the boundary a little bit because he never really said anything disrespectful.
Yeah, and
never took it like that. You know,
you're not even talking about basketball anymore.
You're talking about someone's dad,
yeah,
another player's dad, and that's why I love LaVar Ball because to me, he's the best thing. I feel like he's taking a lot of.
I was thinking about it. I was like, is he adding pressure to Lonzo, or is he taking pressure off of Lonzo by making the spotlight go on him?
Yeah,
because at the same time, like, Lonzo has a lot of pressure. And Magic Johnson keeps saying he's going to break all these records. So, I mean, I'm eager to see Summer League. And
I think it's good pressure. I think it's the pressure. It could be bad for someone else, but someone like Lonzo, who seems like he's a born leader, you know, he's dealt with pressure. He's always been probably the best kid on every team he's been on.
That's probably true.
So, you know, he's always had that pressure to lead the team, lead the pack. His dad seems like he's been like his trainer since, you know, he was birthed. So I think it's a good fit for Lonzo. I mean, he'll be good. That pressure don't really get to him.
Yeah. So we're about to wrap up this first break, this first segment. Go to hotstreakpodcast.com and email if you agree or disagree with anything that we've talked about. We'd love the feedback, and we'd like to pick your brains on this. So, yeah, go ahead and hit up that website, and we'll be right back.
Enjoy.
All right, y'all, we're back. This is the Hot Streak podcast on Hits 101 Radio. And up next, we got some NFL offseason turbulence, apparently, because NFL players are mad jealous that they didn't decide to pick up a basketball and dunk that shit because NBA players' contracts are through the ceiling. I think it's Blake Griffin and Steph Curry combined.
And one more person. Blake Griffin, Steph Curry, and
who else just signed a contract? Paul George?
No. No, it was, I don't know, but it was three people.
Yeah, it was three.
Kevin Durant? No. I don't know. It was three NBA players.
Three NBA players. Steph Curry and Blake Griffin. Mike Connolly.
Yeah.
Yeah, because he's the highest paid from last season. So those three are the highest paid NBA players right now. And their whole contracts, all their contracts put together are worth more than 32 NFL quarterback contracts. So Steph Curry's getting paid $40 million a year for the next five years.
Yeah.
For the next 5 years, he's getting paid $40 million a year. And the highest paid NFL quarterback is Derek Carr, and he's getting paid $25 million. So there's some chitter chatter on Twitter between a certain NFL player saying, it ain't fair. It ain't fair. They're salty. Sammy Watkins, a wide receiver for the Buffalo Bills, he's really salty. He's just dreaming of NBA contracts in the NFL. But you can't pay NFL players that much.
Yeah. Because
there's 53 men on the roster. There's so many injuries. The job security is like horrible in the NFL.
Yeah, you're gonna get injured.
You can't get signed to a 5-year deal and expect to be playing all those 5 years without anything. Like, yeah, you know, an injury is coming. It might not be a significant one. Hopefully it's not a significant one, but you're gonna tweak an ankle, you're gonna break a finger.
Yeah, plus I saw the report, like, you know, the players union and the NBA versus the players union and the NFL.
Uh-huh.
The players union and the NBA gets, I think, 51 or 49% of the revenue. And in the NFL, it's only like 35%.
Yeah, the NFL doesn't care about anything except for making their own money.
Yeah, plus the players league in the NFL, the union is weak. It's not as strong as the one in the NBA. They're just not, you know, negotiating good enough. But at the end of the day, you're going to get paid for how much the team values you, right? So
yeah.
Even Derek Carr, like, he got $25 million a year.
Yeah, high-speed quarterback.
What was it last year for the NBA? Was it, like, how much was LeBron getting, like, $30 million?
Yeah, something like that.
So, yeah, like, those are the two most valuable players on each team, right? In the NFL and the NBA. They're getting paid pretty close. It's not obviously the same.
Yeah.
But they're getting paid pretty close, and it's just hard to determine what. I mean, you're not going to be the lineman, and you're not going to get, you know, $30 million a year unless you're the best lineman in the league.
Yeah, I'm going to throw some stats at you about Derek Carr right now because I heard a lot of negative remarks on that contract saying, oh, he's not proven. No, he is proven. He has doubled his win total in every single year that he's been starting. He's the only rookie from 2014 to start every game that he's played while healthy. He's increased his touchdown and interception ratio each year in the league. I think he has the third most yards in the first 3 years of his season in NFL history, or second most behind Dan Marino. And yes, he got injured last year. And yes, it was a fluke injury, and it could have happened to anybody. And that's the reason why the Raiders didn't beat the Texans in the playoffs, because they obviously didn't have the best player on the team. So to say he's not proven, I think that's just a cop-out. Like, people are just mad because he's getting paid that much. But at the same time, he's not going to be the highest paid player in the NFL for that long.
Yeah.
Because then
it'll be someone else next year.
Yeah, the next year somebody is going to get paid like a little bit over $25 million a year, and then it's just going to keep growing. And Aaron Rodgers is definitely probably going to get the last greatest, fattest contract.
Hopefully.
Yeah, because, I mean, you got to pay the man everything, because he's literally dragging a third-string team to the NFC Championship.
See, that's one thing, like, I like Derek Carr. I'm a Green Bay fan. I'm a Packers fan. You know, Aaron Rodgers, to me, is the best quarterback ever. But I like Derek Carr just simply for the fact because he has so much potential to be like Aaron Rodgers. He throws bombs. You know, he can throw down the field. He can make big plays. He's a reliable quarterback.
It's almost like they both have the shooter's touch.
Yeah, but I can see a point where someone could say that he's not proven just because of the simple fact he hasn't played a playoff game. He hasn't proven himself in the postseason when it actually matters. But I don't think it was a bad idea because once he gets to play in the playoffs, he's going to be a beast, like Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, because, I mean, last year, too, he led the league in fourth quarter comebacks. And he led the league in, I think it was clutch performer. Yeah, he was voted clutch performer of the year last year. Yeah. So, I mean, the dude's got Mamba mentality. Yeah. That's all I got to say.
How long do you guys have him?
It's a 5-year extension.
Yeah, 5 years. He's definitely going to be a beast.
I'm a Raiders fan. So the Raiders been making some good moves recently. The upside, they're on the come up.
They re-signed Khalil Mack.
Not yet. That's gonna be next offseason. They're gonna pay that guy an arm and a leg too, because he's literally the most destructive lineman in the NFL. Season preview on this. So opening day for the NFL is September 7th. It's a Thursday night game between Kansas City and New England. I think that this season is going to be full of surprises. I think you could call division winners at this point based this is just a prediction. This is not set in stone, obviously. But I think you could call division winners, but at the same time, you have no idea what's going to happen with wild cards, no idea what's going to happen with injuries or anything like that.
Yeah, we're weeks away. How many?
Yeah, it's like
9 weeks.
It's like 9 Sundays till September 10th, the opening weekend.
One team I think is gonna, you know, break out this year is the Bucks.
Yes.
Tampa Bay, right?
Yeah, Tampa Bay is definitely, I think Jameis Winston is the right quarterback for that system.
Yep. They're playing in the NFC South. So they're playing against the Panthers, the Dolphins, and...
No, the Panthers, the Saints, Falcons. And the Falcons.
Yeah.
I think that out of all those teams, they have the strongest... They added pieces, and they didn't really let go of pieces.
Mm-hmm.
They're pretty much... I think they're ahead of the Panthers when it comes to...
Quarterback. Straight up quarterback. Who do the Panthers still have? They have...
Cam Newton as quarterback.
Oh, yeah. I mean the Jaguars. Sorry, the Jaguars, not the Panthers.
No, yeah, the Panthers. The Panthers. I think that the Bucs are a little bit better than the Panthers on paper, based on defense and everything like that. And Mike Evans on the Bucs, that receiver. Yeah. Mike Evans really got some hands.
Dude, he has a crazy story. Have you seen his 60?
No,
60 minute. He has a crazy story. He had he came from the bottom. He came from the gutter. He went to Oklahoma. No, Texas A&M.
Oh, yeah.
And, I guess his uncle killed his dad because his dad was, trying to, attack his mom. And, he had to basically deal with that and deal with his uncle after that.
Wow. While,
you know, accepting him for that. It was a crazy story, man. Just check it out on ESPN. Shout out to ESPN for those dope.
Shout out to D-60s. ESPN for all the sources. Bleacher Report. I think the biggest, most difficult division, if you were in this division, the most difficult division to come out on top would be the AFC West.
AFC West. You say that because you're
I don't say that. I look at every other team in the AFC West and I see number 2 seed in the playoffs. Like I could see that happening easily for maybe not the Chargers, but the Chargers are they're getting better on defense, and they got the AFC West has the most dominant pass rushers in the league. If you think True. About it, it has all those teams have dominant pass rushers.
See, so, I want to say something good about the Packers and say that the NFC North is some crazy division, but all we have is the Lions, the Vikings, and the Bears, and those are...
Yeah, the Bears are full rebuild.
Lions are always a letdown.
Yeah. Bears are in full rebuild.
They've the Vikings, been in full rebuild mode to the 89 Bears or whatever.
They got... The Vikings are kind of like... I don't know what's going to happen.
Once they lost Teddy Bridgewater, it kind of went downhill. Yeah,
they still have Bradford, right? They got Bradford.
Yeah, but their season started well, 4-0, and then they just went downhill from there.
So they have Bradford right now. No timetable on Teddy Bridgewater's return. But
I don't think they're having him back. I heard reports that he's not coming back for a while, even if he does.
Yeah, that's really bad because it was a freak injury. Yeah. And... I don't even know if he's walking.
Yeah, he's a good player too. He didn't seem like a, you know.
He was supposed to be out of the same class, out of the same draft class as Derek Carr. He was like the second quarterback in that draft class that was like putting up numbers, you know. Well, their running game got better. They let go of AP. Adrian Peterson walked, but they got Delvin Cook from Florida State in this past draft, and they also signed a free agent Latavius Murray out of Oakland. Had a nice career, and they just got to make sure that they could run block and pass block because that defense is pretty nice.
True. In my opinion, for the toughest division, I think it's the NFC East. Just because you got the Cowboys, the Giants, the Eagles, they did solid last season to start, but then, you know, downhill, and the Redskins. Solid teams.
I'm calling a sophomore slump for the Dallas Cowboys when it comes to Dak Prescott.
Oh, yeah.
I'm calling a sophomore slump.
I think they're good, dude. They're like a solid team. You know, they have all the right pieces, but just they're young. So I feel like if they develop, they'll be good. But if no injury stops them, you know. But Ezekiel Elliott, dude, that dude has some problems off the field.
Dak Prescott's in hot water also. He's signing too many autographs, machine autographs or something.
Oh, wow.
So a lot of people are like... And then... just July 5th.
I'm not mad at that.
Let me
tell you why.
You could get into way worse trouble.
Dude, these days, these guys sign so many autographs every day, right?
Yeah.
Whether most of the time, these guys are getting, you know, memorabilia and all this stuff to sign. And these guys are turning around and just selling it. Boom, boom, boom. Making a quick buck. They'll hire kids to go up and get an autograph just so they can come back.
That's true.
You know, they'll pay the kid money, and it's these guys want to be, you know, giving the autographs to fans and kids instead of people who are just using it for money.
Yeah. Another Cowboy in the news. Their linebacker, young linebacker.
Cowboys are lawless.
Yep, they really are. Damian Wilson has just been arrested. July 5th, he was arrested early in the morning for aggravated assault charge. So. I mean, the Dallas Cowboys they're lawless.
Yeah, shout out to the Dallas Cowboys, man. I think ever since, what was his name, the wide receiver?
Terrell Owens?
Yeah, Terrell Owens. I mean, he started like the bad boy thing. But this last season that just came up like really brought in a new class of just like
bad boys,
man. Yeah, they're trying to make that name for themselves.
Yeah. Yeah, we haven't even talked about the Patriots yet. The Patriots have quietly been assembling a super team.
Yeah, Patriots.
They added some pieces on defense. Stephon Gilmore from the Bills, cornerback. They signed him. They didn't even get rid of Malcolm Butler.
Oh, damn.
So they still got Malcolm Butler. They still got a couple. They got Brandon Cooks. I don't know how they got.
No way.
Yeah, they got Brandon Cooks from New Orleans. They gave up like a draft pick or something on draft day. They got the speediest slot receiver in the game.
Dude.
They still got Gronk.
Wow.
It's ridiculous.
Bill Belichick is a mob boss.
Yeah, like somebody could be working at Little Caesars in week 6, and then by week 11, he's like starting.
He's made them into the
best.
Yeah,
he's like starting slot receiver, and he's catching 80-yard touchdown passes by Tom Brady. So
he's got a system. He's like all the other great coaches, Popovich.
Yeah, he's got a system.
They got systems, and they're running.
He's a cheat, but it's working.
Yeah. All right, that's enough football for now. let's enjoy some good music, and we'll be right back.
All right, and we back.
We back, baby.
We back, and we about to talk about some loyalty. In a world full of disloyal people, we're going to talk about some loyalty.
Kevin Durant.
Disloyal.
Hayward.
Disloyal.
LeBron, back when he was on the Cavs for the first time.
Disloyal. Yeah. He about to leave again, though, so.
Lionel Messi.
Lionel Messi, the definition of a one-club man, just signed an extension for up until 2021.
Look, he married his childhood sweetheart off the field. That's loyalty off the field. What'd he do on the field that was loyal, bro?
The field, he scored over 500 goals in La Liga with one team. He's won five Ballon d'Ors, which is an all-time record.
God damn.
He's scored 91 goals in the calendar year, which is an all-time record. He has scored an insane amount of goals against Real Madrid. Let's just put that out there. We're going to get to all you Madrid fans salty. And he's just staying. He said that he was on the brink of leaving. There's been speculation that he might leave Barcelona for Manchester City or even the MLS. But he put all those rumors to bed when he extended his contract. And I think the most unbelievable part about this is there's a buyout clause, right? And his buyout clause was like 100 million euro before. And I think it just jumped up to like 275 million.
God damn.
So this man is basically a little, he's 5'8" and he's made of gold. So
he's a fast leprechaun, man.
Yeah, he's a pulga. He's the flea. And more Barcelona news. They've been linked with Italian midfield maestro Marco Verratti, but unfortunately, it looks like he's staying at PSG to, again, have a dismal season. So, I mean, Barcelona's right there.
We don't want him anyways.
Yeah, they didn't need him anyways. More transfer news. Arsenal signed Alexandre Lacazette from Olympique Lyon in the French League. They just signed him. He's been, over the past 4 years, in all top European leagues. He has been the third all-time scorer behind only two, Cristiano Ronaldo and Messi. He's converted 76 goals in the past, I think this, like, past 2 years, 76 goals, or created 76 chances. He's pretty good. So that's a good signing for Arsenal, a team struggling to score goals in the past couple seasons. They have
past couple seasons.
Yeah, they haven't won a Premier League.
It's been a minute.
They haven't won a Premier League since 2003. They've never won the Champions League, and the last trophy that they won was the FA Cup.
Damn, they sound like the Knicks.
Yeah, they're the Knicks. But they look good in red, so it's all good. The Knicks uniforms are trash.
They have Alexis Sanchez, though, right?
Yeah. They still have Alexis Sanchez. They have Mesut Ozil. And they're looking to bring in, I heard rumors of Lenmar from Monaco and Riyad Mahrez from Leicester City.
Oh, yeah, the Algerian beast.
Yeah, shout out to Algeria one time.
Shout out to Algeria one time.
So we'll see with Arsenal. I mean, they don't have to play Champions League this year. They're going to play Europa League. But hopefully they can win the league, the domestic premiership. So, we'll see. But,
yeah, what's good with the World Cup qualifiers?
World Cup qualifying. Well, the Confederation Cup just ended. Germany beating Chile 1-0. That, honestly, if you guys didn't see that game, that was a crazy game, because it was neck and neck. Chile, if you know anything about international soccer, Chile right now was on the top of their game. Their third final in the last 3 years, third international final in the last 3 years, won the previous two. But Germany came into the tournament as a favorite, even though they were playing with the younger team. They were playing with the B team. They had all their superstars on holiday, and they played with the more a youthful team, a less experienced team. And that just shows you how the system is. The system works great. If you're an international federation and you're trying to build a World Cup champion, you got to see what Germany has done in the past 10 years. They've made a perfect balance of youth and veterans
they
on the team.
They got that sauce. Yes. Germany got that sauce.
Germany is a very talented country when it comes to soccer. They also won the under 21 Euro final. So they're dominating on different levels of competition. And it's exciting. At the same time, I don't know if they could repeat as World Cup champions because no one has ever done that. So
that would be crazy.
Next summer is lining up to be a really good World Cup. It's going to be in Russia. It's going to be interesting. There's going to be a lot of good teams. And as far as World Cup qualifying goes, in the CONCACAF with Mexico, that's Mexico, the U.S., Panama, Central America teams.
When is that?
World Cup qualifying is like over the span of 3 years. And right now they're in the final stages of qualifying, and the U.S. is in the middle of the pack.
Right.
Mexico is the leader. They're probably going to pass us first. And if the U.S. passes as third or fourth, I believe on goal differential, they have to play a playoff. And they would have to play a playoff against another confederation's country. So yeah. It would be like they play against the Pacific region, which would be like New Zealand or Australia or Japan, depending on who's in the same boat as them. So there's still a tough road to climb in terms of the U.S. qualifying for the U.S. For the World Cup. But Mexico is almost already there. And I'm not too sure on how the European groups are doing right now. But there's going to be World Cup qualifiers in the fall. So we'll definitely see a Fecha FIFA. We'll see some international games.
Do you think the United States needs to like change their rules for like in order for us to, you know, home grow some good World Cup teams? Because our youth like competition isn't that good, is it?
I feel like the U.S. within the next 10 years, if everything goes right and because I think the U.S. has the most dominant athletes when it comes to every other sport. American athletes are dominant. We have Michael Phelps. We got LeBron James. Yeah, we have amazing baseball players. I mean, the Dominicans probably got a little bit more like juice, but Americans, Mike Trout, Aaron Judge, there's some baseball players. But as far as soccer, I think the U.S. national team has a lot of foreign influence when it comes to international, when it comes to the national team. They have a lot of the country's full of immigrants and there's a lot of first generation Americans on the U.S. national team. And I think the only way the U.S. gets better is if the MLS gets better. Because if the MLS has a steady youth movement and their teams are competing, they could be one of the bigger leagues based on just the U.S. Like the U.S. is so they could pour money into the sport, you know.
But
what
we have like restrictions that maybe some other countries don't. Like our, you know, 16, 15 year olds can't become pro. You know, they have to wait till they're out of high school.
That's like the same thing in
basketball.
No, I was gonna say that's the same thing in Spain. The Spanish youth have to be like their contract with the mother team has to be like transferred to a different team so they could debut.
Oh damn.
Yeah, so it's like, I mean, at the same time, the U.S. has more, there's like more college soccer.
Yeah.
And there's like a draft in the MLS when in other leagues, in other countries, there's not, you just move up through the ranks of the youth academy and stuff. So I believe that the U.S. could overtake a lot of teams when it comes to international soccer, but it's just going to take a lot of time.
I hope we can do it, man. I'm tired of seeing us losing the first round every World Cup. I'm happy we made it, but it's just like,
bro. It's not, I don't even bat an eye when the U.S. loses. I get super salty when Mexico like puts up a dismal performance or something. Cause
like when they tie against,
like when they lose 4-1 against Germany in the Confederations Cup, I'm just like, let me coach the team.
See, it sets them apart. Like they look good against the U.S. and they go play a real team like Germany.
Yeah, anybody's gonna get smacked by Germany though. Like anybody's gonna get smacked.
True.
Yeah. So you want to give out the quick plugs, Safe?
You got something else to say? Nah. I want to plug my stuff real quick. I'm trying to get followers on our new Instagram page. It's called Hot Streak Podcast. Hot Streak Podcast. No numbers, nothing. Just Hot Streak Podcast. Follow your boy, Young Safe, YungXSAIF. And
go ahead and follow me on Instagram as well at Chef_SeaGod. And yeah, so you can just email us on the website. And if you have anything to say, whether you disagree or agree with what we're saying, go ahead and comment and let us know.
One more plug. Follow CRP Shows on Instagram too. Don't let us forget about that boy Caesar producing
Ghost producing. We really out here. Stay tuned for more of the Hot Streak Podcast. We're gonna be trying to get this thing popping.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's it for the week, right?
Yow.
Brah. Later.
This was a Cesar Rodriguez production. Check out more at crpshows.com.